Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Parents Coaching Parents Network with your host, M.H. Scott. This is a one-hour interactive talk show. We'll talk college recruiting, athletic scholarships, and much more. Here's your host, M.H. Scott.
Hey, welcome to another Parents Coaching Parents Network show. I am your host, M.H. Scott, and folks, we're going to do this thing one more time. And in doing it, I want you to get a chance to get your notepad and paper out and just make sure that you're ready. Because as we're putting this information out here today, you may want to take some notes. You may want to be very attentive to what you hear today. Because I think I found that guest that's going to open your eyes on some things. Going to give you a very new perspective on what's going on in this college recruiting landscape. Man, I'm telling you. When I first had a chance to sit down and talk with this young lady, I was like, okay, all right, we got to bring her on the show. We got to affiliate her with the Parents Coaching Parents Network because I really and truly believe that she understands it. She gets it. She knows what it's all about because it's not oftentimes that you have folks that have had that experience, that firsthand experience that really knows how to bring it to the table. And in bringing it to the table, folks, let me tell you something. You got to be able to bring it to the table. You got to be able to bring it to the table and understand what you're doing and why you're doing it. And look at it from the broader picture. The broader picture being what's working in the best interest of our athletes. But before we go into bringing up our guests, I think I want to go ahead and, hey, hear what my man, Mr. Keith Wright, has to say. Keith, where you at? We seem to have a little pause in the conversation with Keith.
Student of the game, had people frontin' talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, but I'm hating dead. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart cool. That's how I do.
That's my man, Mr. Keith Wright, folks. As Keith says so eloquently, he's making smart cool. He's making smart cool. Now, Keith, like I like to share with you all the time, Keith is a graduate of the University of Harvard. Still out there playing ball overseas. But Keith got that education, still had a passion for the game, had a couple chances to work out with a few teams in the NBA, but eventually said, okay, I'm going to go overseas. I'm going to continue to make some of this paper, and then I'm going to go ahead and once I'm done, then I got to set up my career. Just probably, it's something, he's probably going to be into something that's going to carry him for the rest of his life. As Keith said, he's making smart cool. He has no problem with showing some love to the fans that's in the stands and in the bleachers. That's what I'm talking about. But Keith understands. Keith gets the picture. Keith knows how to articulate. But also, does our guest today know how to articulate what's going on in this college recruiting landscape? Folks, when I say that we got a jewel here today, oh, man. Oh, man. I've been excited all week trying to make sure that we're going to dot every I and cross every T when we bring this guest to the floor here on the Parents Coach the Parents Network. Folks, I'm talking about this young lady here that has went out and put together a phenomenal program or a phenomenal organization. And the name of the organization is called, now check this out. And you may say, what's the difference between this organization and what's going on with the press? Folks, hey, I look at it from this perspective. There's more than enough folks out here to get a piece of this pie. The name of this organization is called College Recruiting Secrets for Parents of Athletes. College Recruiting Secrets. So what is she talking about? Who are we talking about? And what does she bring to the table that you probably haven't already heard? Well, one thing I want to add is she's played the game. Now I'm going to let her tell us a little bit more about herself and what sport she was involved in. And how did she get to this point of being the founder of College Recruiting Secrets for Parents of Athletes? So, enough said. Let's go ahead and bring up our guest today, Mrs. Tanya Sims. Good afternoon, Tanya.
Hi, Michael. Hi, everyone. How you doing?
We're doing great. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. My story starts, I should say, in southeastern Wisconsin in a mid-sized city called Racine, Wisconsin. We're kind of in like a unique position because we're located right in between Milwaukee and right in between Chicago. So growing up, I remember watching, you know, Milwaukee highlights of Latrell Sprewell, former NBA basketball player, playing, you know, his sport and coming home and watching the Chicago news and seeing, you know, Kevin Garnett and Ronnie Fields and those guys do their thing down there. So growing up, I literally played every sport under the sun. I mean, I played ball, volleyball, soccer, but my sport, I would say my main sport was basketball. And so by the time I was a senior in high school, I was a first team high school All-American, was rated the fifth best prospect in the country. Went on to play collegiately for the University of Wisconsin here in Madison, Wisconsin, and played professionally over in Europe and a little bit in the WNBA. I've had a wide breadth of experience, but it wasn't just, you know, it wasn't just sports. Like you were saying earlier, my parents made sure that I had the academic part as well, right? So they made sure that I was doing other things besides sports. Obviously, school was one of them. I played the piano growing up. I started coding as a kid, and I'm actually a software engineer now. I was able to get a lot of variety growing up.
Wow. And that's, you know what, folks? You can't say enough about the value of what we as parents add to our children, because we have to be able to see the bigger picture. And in seeing that bigger picture, we have to make sure that they have every opportunity that's afforded to them. And they're able to maximize that opportunity. You know, she said she got involved in coding. She played every sport underneath the sun. So that means that there were some parents out there that was being very supportive. And then she went on to play at the collegiate level, went from there and played overseas and had also played a little bit in the WNBA. So that wealth of experience that this young lady is going to share with us today, man, like I said, I think you need to get your pen and paper out, because without a doubt, you're going to hear some things today that you may have one of those aha moments, or, oh, I didn't think about it that way. You know, I often talk about what's going on here in Parents Coach Parents Network and, you know, how long we've been doing our thing here. But it's always great to get a new perspective or new vision or some another mission from someone else to make this thing a broader view, to give us a broader view, because everything that I talk about, I only can talk about it from my experience. But there are so many other things that have happened out there, so many other folks that have went through the process that can share this information with you. And, man, that turns into a win-win situation. So without further ado, we're going to jump right on in and get this conversation rolling with our guest today, Mrs. Tanya Sims, CEO and founder of what? College Recruiting Secrets for Parents of Athletes. Tanya, how long ago did you start this program?
So I started the program about a year ago, and so the Facebook group is called College Recruiting Secrets for Parents of Athletes, but our company is called Upper Level Sports Academy. That's okay. And you mentioned earlier about a program. We actually do have a program. It's called Rookie to Recruit. So about a year ago is when we first started.
About a year ago. And what drove you to get involved in this particular field?
So what drove me to get involved is, you know, like just from having that experience as a student athlete and then playing professionally, I was getting a lot of like my friends and a lot of parents that were coming to me and asking me, you know, like if they have a son or a daughter who's an athlete and they want to go to college, like I just was getting a lot of questions. And so like I was like, wow, you know, I can turn this into a business and help people along their recruiting journey. So that's really how that started.
Wow. And you know, that's something that's always a plus when somebody is able to help another. And as she said in the opening, that she played a variety of sports. You know, talk a little bit about your recruiting experience and, you know, what led you to just really sit down and say, hey, okay, I can do something with this, you know, before I even go into that, are you still playing? That's an important question.
Yeah, that is a good question. Went outside and shot some hoops like a couple days ago, but the last time I played like a game was about 4 years ago. I was playing in a pickup game, so I'm not as I don't play as much. I have four nieces and nephews, and they all played sports, so I'm kind of like the cheerleader now. So I cheer them on, and I definitely watch a lot of basketball and sports on television.
Understood. So. She's been in the game for about a year now. She got into it based upon her experience and understanding that folks need that help, and there was a missing piece there. And that's always a valuable part, because oftentimes, as I say in my book, we don't know what we don't know. You know, we don't know what we don't know. So why not have someone that has had that experience come along and share their insight with us? Tell us a little bit about your recruiting experience.
Sure. So my recruiting experience is a little bit unique. It actually started very early. So I was 13 when I received my first letter from a college coach. And I know that doesn't really happen, you know, too often, but how it happened was I was playing AAU. It was my first year playing AAU. I was in seventh grade, going into eighth grade, and we had a tournament in Arizona. I did not even play very well, to be honest with you. I didn't play very well. I was playing out of position, and, you know, some things were happening with the team, you know, with, like, having, you know, the coach having his daughter on the team and stuff like that. So I didn't play very well, but the one thing I had going for me is, you know, I'm very tall. I'm 6'2", and I can handle the ball pretty well. I was actually – I played actually all positions, from guard to center.
Okay, okay.
And so even though I didn't play very well, college coaches still saw potential in me, right? And I think that's very important because I think that, you know, we think that, you know, maybe we have to be like this polished product. I think some coaches are able to see like that diamond in the rough sometimes, and they're able to see potential in athletes. And that's what happened to me. And so when I got back home to Wisconsin, I remember getting my first letter from a college coach. And I was a little surprised. I was like, wow, you know, because I was so young and because I, like I was saying earlier, I didn't have the most impressive tournament.
Well, you know, and see, you know, I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you shared that piece right there. Because oftentimes, too many athletes think that their game has to be every I dotted and every T crossed. Oh, I had a bad game. Coaches ain't even looking at me. You know, no. You got other tangible things that you bring to the table. And the thing that you just mentioned a second ago, being 6'2", handling the ball, so that tells a coach right off the bat that there is that the ceiling is high, as they like to put it. And I hate that terminology, but I'm going to go ahead and use it for today because our listening audience may be a little familiar with it. The ceiling is high with this particular recruit because of the simple fact that you're able to handle the ball at 6'2". Not too many. How old were you at the time?
I was 13.
13. Time out. Are you telling me that you was 6'2 at 13 years old?
I was, yeah. So I was 6'2 at 13. So actually, when I was in fourth grade, I was 5'4", which is, you know, obviously very tall for fourth grade. And then the next year, fifth grade, I grew to 5'8". Sixth grade, I grew to 5'9", and then seventh grade that summer, I just sprouted up like a bean bowl, you know, to 6'2". So yeah, so I was
my goodness.
At 13 years old.
Oh my goodness, and I say that because I went through that growth spurt with my son. He went from 5'10" in the eighth grade to about 6'6". Finishing off his sophomore year.
Wow.
Yeah. And that right there was, that just floored me because of the simple fact that I couldn't even keep up, you know, but luckily, and I say this jokingly, but hey, y'all don't know how serious I was as I say this. Luckily, it was during the time period where, you know, the guys were sagging their pants and all that old kind of stuff. So I let him get away with a few sags because if not, his pants would have been up on his ankle somewhere or the bottom part of his calf. And that would have been really a real problem. So he got away with that sag and then we figured the thing out because although he stretched out, he didn't fill out. You know, so to find a 6'6 bean pole that probably ain't breaking 200, to find some pants to fit him was a real challenge. Was a real challenge.
Yeah,
and I can imagine, what your family went through. Yeah, I can imagine what they went through at 6'2", 13-year-old. Trying to find some clothes that fits her, let alone she could have been a 6'2", 17-year-old, still trying to find some women's clothes that fit her is a bit of a challenge.
Yeah, it was really tough. It actually brought back some flashbacks of what you were saying about your son, because I definitely have those vivid memories of going to school with, you know, like high water pants on, because I just was growing so fast, and like my parents couldn't keep up. And sometimes actually I had to wear my brother's jeans to school because we couldn't find jeans my size for like girls' pants. And so my brother is taller than me. He's 6'6". But yeah, it's definitely a challenge.
Yes. Okay, so tell us a little bit more about college recruiting secrets for parents.
Sure, yeah, so that's the Facebook group. I actually do have a, it's a PDF, it's free. It's actually called College Recruiting Secrets for Parents, where I give parents of athletes, nine secrets of the college recruiting journey. I think these are very, maybe things that parents maybe don't realize or don't know offhand. So like, for example, one of the secrets is actually filling out recruiting questionnaires online. So what, an athlete or, and actually it should be the athletes doing this, right? Like the child, like it should never be the parents emailing college coaches or, sending communication to college coaches. The college coach wants to see that their child is able to communicate independently because it shows leadership, right? And so one of the secrets in the PDF cheat sheet is about filling out recruiting questionnaires. These are kind of like hidden gems, these questionnaires, because what these questionnaires do, like you can fill out the questionnaire with like your academic information, your athletic information, and some personal information as well, and it goes right to the college coach's database, and they most likely get like an email that a new recruit filled out this questionnaire. So it immediately puts them on the radar of a college coach.
Okay. So that's one of the things that you do with the college recruiting. Let me make sure I got it right. College recruiting.
College recruiting secrets. Yeah.
College recruiting secrets. Now you said that's just one of the programs from your company. What is your overall company?
Yeah, so my overall company is Upper Level Sports Academy, and so we have different free PDFs and cheat sheets. Like the College Recruiting Secrets is a cheat sheet that's free. We have one called the Twitter Recruiting Checklist. That's just a simple checklist that kind of guides parents and their children on how to get recruited on Twitter. And we also have a program. It's a 6-week program. It's called Rookie to Recruit. And in that program, what we do is we guide athletes and we guide their parents like by helping them create like a compelling story, right, that captivates college coaches. Just because stories drive emotion, right? And, people buy an emotion. And I believe that college coaches recruit on emotion as well, because, college coaches are very – coaches in general are very, like, emotional people, right? They have that passion. So in the Rookie to Recruit program, we help them create their compelling story, and we dissect their recruiting journey, step by step, and dive into recruiting strategy from, like, how to email college coaches, because I have a framework for that. And then using social media to get on the college coaches' radar, and like how to brand yourself as well. Because branding, as we all know, with the increasing use of social media, like Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, I could go on and on, but, branding.
Hold on, Tony. Let me jump in there for a second. And I say that because, I know you are in tune with the whole social media scene, from TikTok to YouTube to Twitter to Instagram, the whole works. But some of us older heads may not even have a clue of what you're talking about when you're talking about branding. Can you give us a little insight on what that really and truly means? Because I'm old school. I may not know what you're talking about, branding.
Yeah, so I believe branding in general, it's a marketing term, right? from the, I guess, like the more previous form of marketing, which I mean, what I mean by that is like the, they call it traditional marketing,
mm-hmm.
right? But nowadays you have what's called digital marketing, and I'm also a digital marketer. I'm an online marketer. So that just means, you know, getting your presence known online. So branding, in my opinion, it starts with story, right? Like, they call it like an origin story. You know, for example, for my new job, I have my business on the side, but I also have a daytime job. I am a software developer advocate. So my origin story is, you know, I am a Hall of Fame basketball player turned pharmaceutical sales rep turned software engineer. so
okay.
Everybody has a story. Yeah. So everyone has a story. Branding is becoming more increasingly important in college athletics as well because of the new name, image, likeness, or NIL, it's called. And what that does is it will allow college athletes to profit off of their name, image, and likeness. Only some states have passed it. I think the majority of states that have passed this law or bill are states that are in the South. I can't think of the states offhand. I think there's like a handful of states, but I feel like more states are going to open it up and pass that law. Important, right, for, you know, a high school athlete to start building a brand. I mean, even like in middle school as well, building some type of brand on social media. And I even saw like, I mean, I've seen like five-year-olds, you know, their parents, of course, manage their account. You know, this five-year-old basketball phenom, you know, has a brand already, has more Instagram followers than I do, you know, so... So creating brand is very important, and I've even heard in some cases college coaches, you know, or like recruiting athletes that have, you know, larger social media followings because it's good for the university. It helps them make money.
Mm-hmm. You know, and you are oh so true, oh so true. You know, folks, and putting that in a very simple layman's term. How is your child marketing him or herself? Or how are you assisting your child in marketing him or herself? What is their presence?
Yeah.
You know, in society, you know, what is their presence? When she talked about brand, you know, that's basically what she's saying. What is their presence in the social media platform? You know, what is their presence in the global scheme of things as we look at it from the bigger picture? How do folks recognize your child? Is your child, you know, the guy that, you know, got X amount of people following them because of, as the younger crew would say, because of his or her drip, you know, or you know, what does they, as we would say, what does their outfit look like, you know,
mm-hmm.
or what is the unique characteristic of your child that makes him stand out or makes her stand
yeah.
out amongst the crowd.
Yes.
You know, because
yeah,
you got to look at, this is a big picture. This is a huge picture. Think about how many athletes are trying for that one position that your child is trying to secure. You know, and you talked about how to market yourself on the social media side. I think you said Twitter or Instagram, one of the two.
Yeah, both. Mm-hmm.
You know, what are some of the tips that you may offer and I know you said you have your cheat sheets out there, and mm-hmm. if you don't mind sharing them, we'll post them up on the Parents Coach Parents Network page, of course,
sure.
with your approval and your logo and your everything on there, and not claim that that's some of our stuff.
Yeah,
but what are some of the tips that you share when you're talking about, you know, just putting yourself out there in the social media environment?
Yeah, so some of the tips I share, I'll talk about Twitter because I think that is the most powerful social media platform for recruits because there are a lot of college coaches on Twitter, especially for, you know, basketball, football, volleyball, some of like your bigger sports, some smaller sports too, like swimming and. Track and field. But some of the tips I have for Twitter are, so when you – okay, so, like, an athlete shouldn't reach out to a college coach with a direct message right away. They have to build that relationship. And because it's, you know, it's kind of like, you know, if you, like, just think about it, like, if you, you know, create a profile on Twitter and you reach out to a college coach, like, right away, it just, you know, you have to do that relationship first. So what I recommend is, you know, once you have your profile on Twitter, you know, with a nice picture or, like, an action shot, nice bio, what you can do is you can start following a college coach. So you just hit that blue follow button.
So in other words, you're making that initial introduction.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, so that initial introduction, right? That's like by hitting that follow button, because then the college coach will get like a notification, right? And saying, oh, well, you know, this recruit is following me, so they must be interested in my program. So that's like the initial contact. And then what you can start doing is liking some of their tweets, right? So you're kind of like starting to slowly build that relationship. You like their tweets. You just hit that little heart button on Twitter. And then you can start commenting on some of their commenting on the college coach's tweets, right? So it's like you're continuing to build that relationship. Maybe the college coach will respond back. They can also like retweet the tweets. And then I would say do that for like 2 weeks consistently or 3 weeks. And then you can send the coach a direct message, or DM as the young kids call it, right?
you can slide into coach's DM.
Yeah, slide into their DM. And, you know, express interest in their program. Like, you know, we could say something like, and I teach everybody how to do this in my Rookie to Recruit program, but, you know, they could say something like, you know, hey, Coach Jones, you know, I've been following you in your program for a while now, and, you know, I'm really interested in what you have to offer. And, you know, and I would keep it short because I would include more details in, like, an email, but you can drop a link, like a YouTube link to your highlight reel or, like some game video. And kind of just take it from there. So.
And please note, Pants, the point that she put out there, and she said it kind of fast, but I'm hoping that many of you caught it and realizes that this is the key. She said, keep it short.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it short. You don't want to do no PhD dissertation. Because coaches ain't going to take the time to dig through all that just to find out who you are and what your average is and what awards you may have. So keep it short. We just said, that initial introduction is the key. You know, look at it from the standpoint of, as we know in the adult world, as you going to keep that, you keeping that within 30 seconds. If you stretch it out much more past 30 seconds, you're probably on another floor and the other person probably got off. How long does that elevator ride take? Hey, coach, how you doing? I'm so-and-so. I'm interested in learning more about your program. I see that you had a great season. I think I can add to your program. Keep it short. Here's some of my accolades. Here's some of my statistics. I didn't say a whole lot just then, but I made that initial introduction. So as you put it out there, Tanya, you talk about how valuable it is for parents to learn these secrets. Why do you think parents need to be involved? Because I know you said when they fill out the introduction, it should be filled out by the athlete. So what role does parents play in this overall recruiting process picture?
That's a great question because I've seen it on opposite ends of the spectrum. Like, for example, if a parent is maybe too involved in their child's process, or if they're, like, not involved at all, like, it's sometimes not really in the middle, but I think it should be more in the middle. So I would say a parent's role is to – well, first, before that, I would say that college coaches really frown upon, like, helicopter parents. you know, maybe parents that kind of hover over their child. And I was saying earlier in the beginning of our conversation, like a college coach wants to see that a recruit is like an independent thinker, right, can make decisions on their own. So a parent's role should be, you know, something like, you know, teaching their child maybe how to communicate and how to speak up for themselves in a professional manner. A parent could also be like the organizer, right? You could have like a spreadsheet, create spreadsheet and, you know, create, I would make a list of every college coach that you want to target, you know, what date you targeted them, when you made contact with them. And then as well, you know, also just to have like professional behavior at games. You know, we've all seen this, right? Everybody who has a sports child or has been in sports where, you know, you have those sideline coaching parents. That's definitely frowned upon by college coaches. So.
And note, parents, that we are not totally taking you totally out of the picture. We're just assigning you a different role. You know, for the majority of that child's life, you have guided that child. You probably have given him or her some very direct directions, guidance and instruction, you know, all these various things. So now your child is the driver and you're a passenger. But we don't want you to be, you know, a backseat driver. We want you to continue to be the passenger. We want you to still be able to provide that guidance. We want you to be able to, and something that you just mentioned a second ago, as I've said it here on the Parents Coach Parents Network, probably every time I've done a show. But what you just said just validated things I've been saying here. We have to be that support person. We have to be our child's biggest advocate. We have to help them set up that tracker. You know, if the child sends out 15 emails, hey, let's help them put together some type of tickler file or tracking system so that they know when to come back and follow up with that coach instead of just letting it hang out there in la la land. You know, send that, make that phone call, follow up with a reminder, some additional information. We ain't got to sit down and write it and put it together ourselves. I would suggest that you look it over. And as Tanya just said, you make sure that it is grammatically, the grammar is correct. The grammar is correct. And you're talking in a professional tone. You know, your child can't come out, yo, coach, I want you to check out my drip, you know, because I'm doing these things out there on this court that, hey, I hit them with the heavy, I kick them this way. Really? Okay. Now, if that coach is not really feeling that language, although he probably would be because he's trying to reach you, but if he's not that coach, and he may be slightly old school, you may have lost him after the first two sentences. Hey, Tyler, Tanya, we're going to step away for a hot second. We're going to step away for a hot second. Just throw some additional information out there, and then we're going to come right back and wind down for our last few minutes here on the Parents Coach Parents Network show. Sure. You able to hang out?
I sure am.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Mr. Scott, Coach Klein, just calling to check in with you. I'm on my way to Patterson School today. I'll see Mike again tomorrow.
Mr. Scott, how you doing? This is Jeff Battle again. We got disconnected. If there's any problems or whatever, Coach Muse is looking forward to showing you guys around. My cell number.
Mike, this is Skip Prosser from Wake Forest. It's about 7:40. I understand you went by campus.
Mr. Scott, it's Coach Fernandez here with the University of Miami. Hey, hope is well. I just wanted to touch bases with you. I think your son was coming home this weekend and wanted me to give you a call.
Hey, Mr. Scott, this is Chris Pompey, New Mexico State University. Saw your son play during the summer with Lou Williams. If you can, give me a call. Hey, Mr. Scott, this is Coach Bradley down at Clemson. If you had a chance, my cell is 864.
This message will be saved for...
Hey, Michael, George Johnson again with the NBDA. We are playing phone tag. If it's okay...
Hey, Scott, Dan Williams, Philadelphia School District Sports Administration, Compliance, NCAA. You left...
Hey, Mike...
And with the 43rd pick in the 2012 NBA Draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Mike Scott from the University of Virginia.
Guys, athletes, is scholarship mentors, help you and elevate. Parents, coaching, parents, know the game.
Hey, folks, we're back. And we've been talking to Ms. Tanya Sims here, CEO and founder, of this phenomenal Facebook page. And not only that, another organization that I'm drawing a blank on right now, but I truly apologize for that. Not to say that it doesn't add value. It adds even more value to what she's doing. But she's just been sharing some nuggets with us today. For those of you who really want to understand what I'm talking about, she's been dropping some dimes and just putting it out there and just sharing some information with us folks that, you know, if you haven't had a chance to really listen, you may want to go back and check this thing out, check out this episode, because there's some information in here that really and truly open your eyes up to what's going on in the college recruiting process. Tanya, you still with us?
Yep, still here.
Well, hey, we thank you for hanging in there and continuing to join us and, you know, just being that inspirational piece for us on this Sunday afternoon. So as we were talking, you know, we were talking over the break, she mentioned something and she talked about the number of schools that athletes reach out to. Give us some insight on where you're going with that particular conversation.
Yeah, so it stemmed from, you know, the question you asked me just before break about, you know, what is a parent's role? And one of the things is that comes to mind is, so I think recruits sometimes maybe target only like a few schools. They should be targeting, I know this number is going to sound really out there, but between 30 and 50 colleges. That's
No, but I want to go to Duke. If I can't go to Duke, I want to go to Kentucky. And if I can't go to Kentucky, I want to go to UCLA or Gonzaga.
Right.
I don't want to go to none of them other schools. If I can't go there, then I don't want to go. I understand what you're saying. I heard that all the time. A guy told me he was going to be the starting point guard at Kentucky. And I asked him, he was in his junior year, and I asked him, have you heard from Calipari? And he said, No, but I'm gonna have a big senior year, and I'm gonna be a starting guard at Kentucky. I said, Okay, all right, brother, I'm in your corner. So I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I just had to throw that out there because I hear it too often.
Me too. I hear that one a lot, and I think that, you know, you have to keep an open mind, right? Because you know, your top college choice may not be, I mean, there may not be any open spots on the roster, right? They may not have any more scholarship offers. And I think it's the best to keep an open mind about, and it also may not be the best fit, right? You have to look at, you know, what is the best fit for you? First, I would look at the academics, right? Like academically, do they have my major that I'm interested in? Is this university a good fit for me from a demographic perspective, you know, culture perspective, even from a coaching perspective, right? I mean, right, there are a few types of coaches. If you have those coaches that are more about strategy, like those are like your X's and O's coaches, then you have, like a player's coach who maybe not as good with strategy, but they can really relate to their players. You may have some coaches that are like a hybrid and have both traits. So there's a lot of things that you have to really consider. And so that's why I definitely suggest targeting 30 to 50 colleges. You know, it may not be your dream college of choice, but the college that may be best for you, maybe you'll fall in love with it and it'll be your dream college after, you know, you get selected.
You know that, and that's also valuable. And, you know, mm-hmm. one thing that I add to that, and I tell parents all the time, I said, hey, when you're talking about looking at a coach or considering that institution, I know some folks want to push you into the corner and say, hey, you want to go because this program has, this institution has the best academic program. But if the climate isn't right, if mm-hmm. the atmosphere for the student isn't right, if while you're on campus and you feel some tension because mm-hmm. you got some racially motivated things going on, or you right. know, folks look down on jocks, or excuse me, mm-hmm. athletes, excuse me, I let me get away from that term. Look down on athletes and say that you're only able to come here because you play. That may not be the climate that you want to put your child in. And on top of all that, if that coach is not continuing to groom your child the way that you have been doing for the last 16, 17, 18 years, now you got a problem. Because we have to look at it from the standpoint of, at the end of the day, at the end of the 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, however long that child's at that institution,
mm-hmm.
you have worked 16, 17, 18 years to ensure that this child, at the end of their time at that institution, is now a productive citizen in our society. But if all that goes out the window at being at this institution for 3 or 4 years, 5 years, because the coach is not stressing any of those points, then, man, that's a whole lot of hard work that has just gone away.
Mm-hmm.
Gone away. So on that note, how soon do you think that athletes should start, you know, developing some type of sense of recruiting?
Great question. I would say as soon as possible. So I would say, like, the soonest would be, like, ninth grade, like, start in ninth grade. because that'll give you a chance, right, to build relationships with the college coach. They have to get to know you, know your personality, know your family. I get a lot of parents who come to me who have, like, maybe seniors in high school, and they've waited until their senior year to get recruited. I mean, it's not always for them to get recruited, but a lot of times it is. So, you know, because just think about it, like, if you're, you know, a senior in high school, if you didn't start in ninth grade, you know, you kind of missed out on those 4 years of building a relationship with the college coach and building trust with that coach. So I would definitely say ninth grade, start that recruiting process.
You know, and I agree with you 100%, you know, and I would say, I would even push it back slightly a little bit before that and say, start thinking about it, you know, coming out of middle school.
Yep.
And I say that because you're coming out of middle school, or when you end those middle school years, you have time right there to start building high school credit. Just
yeah.
imagine in middle school, if you had an opportunity to take a Spanish class, you had an opportunity to take an Algebra 1, you know, you had an opportunity to take a World Geo, you know, so those are things that you can start early and get that jump on. So when it is time for you to get into that high school level, now you got less credits that you have to worry about. Core classes, folks. Core classes.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
this is also some important information, folks. Important information. You know, and as we think about this, you know, we think about just give me some tips on helping a young athlete get started. Give it to us from from a male's perspective and then from a female's perspective. And I say male's perspective, then I say a female. Give it to me from how a young man would start his recruiting process, and then because there's a slight difference. I've noticed a slight difference. Now, I just want to hear what you have, and I'll tell you why I noticed a slight difference here in a minute.
Oh, a slight difference between the woman and the men, women's and men's recruiting process?
Yes.
I think, well, the thing that popped up in my mind when you mentioned that is possibly the recruiting budget, right? Because, you know, I mean, it's been statistically proven that, you know, men's sports like football, men's basketball, men's hockey, probably they do bring in more money for the university. And so it gives them a bigger recruiting budget. So therefore, that particular program at the university, they're able to recruit in a wider area, right? They can probably travel across country and recruit a player. They can travel internationally and recruit, although it's a little bit different now with the pandemic. And some of the women's sports, you know, they don't have as big of recruiting budget, so they maybe have to recruit more locally, more like or like within their region. That's kind of what popped out to me. I'm curious to hear what you have to say, though.
Well, you know, as I think about it, one thing I've noticed about young ladies, and when they're in the recruiting process, they normally don't have that academic challenge. You'll find a whole lot of young men that are going back, taking classes over, or may have to run and hide at a prep school or taking summer school classes or whatever he has to do to pick up those credits, because of the simple fact that for whatever reason, it's gotten away from them. And they have that academic challenge. I haven't seen too many young ladies that I've assisted or, you know, assisted their parents in the recruiting process start out with the question of academics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, normally academics are spot on, and that's not normally the challenge. You know, they have all the other challenges such as, you know, just finding the right fit. You know, finding the right fit. And I would look at the right fit for my daughter more than I would for my son because of the simple fact that And this is not a slight on women, but when they're into their game mode or when they're into their program, when they're into their sport, they still have that one factor that men often shy away from. And I actually think it's a fault on men sometimes that men don't even consider. Women have that emotional factor that kicks in. And when you're in a locker room full of other ladies, you got emotions all in the air. You know, somebody could have had one bad play and everybody comes in there and gives that person the side eye just because that play caused them to lose the game. Guys, they'll look at it for a hot second, and for whatever reason, it may stick with them or may not stick with them, and they'll keep on moving. Especially they know if that person is normally one of their go-to people. So that's a factor that comes into play. And I think that women have a greater bonding than guys do. Guys that come in, and I've watched my son even in his high school days, his college days, and at the professional level now. You know, after the game is over, take their shower, get dressed. You know, they're not trying to catch up with their teammates and hang out and socialize and all. They're heading on out the door. They're getting in their cars and they're gone. Whereas, you know, I think women on a team, I've seen them out more often in groups, bonding, especially if they're in a they travel to another city. You know, they'll come out in groups. Basically, the whole team will show up And I think that's a huge plus because that brings added something to when you hit the court.
You know, right.
Well, especially when we talk about basketball, because now you got that synchronization because you bonded a whole lot better off the court, and now when you hit the court, oh man, it's a piece of cake. So that's one thing I want to add as far as what I've seen differently in the recruiting process, having to be in the right atmosphere. Them going into that right atmosphere, something that's going to work for them, is a huge, huge plus compared to young men. And their academics, of course, is I ain't seen a young lady yet that's out there playing sports that, you know, ain't carrying at least a 3.0.
Right. Yeah, what you said about core courses earlier is very important, too, about the core courses that you have to take for, you know, in high school in order to be eligible, academically eligible for college. Because I've seen where, like, let's say somebody has, like, a 3.4 GPA, but they didn't take all their core courses, so they're not eligible to play in college. So,
yeah. That's so true. That's so true. Hey, man, time has just really snuck up on us there. Tanya, and we down to about two minutes left in this thing. Man, I didn't realize time flew so fast. So give us some contact information. Tell us how we can find out more about what you got going on. If you have a podcast for our folks to check out, or if you have a YouTube channel for our folks to check out, just give us that contact information because we love to stay connected. We understand the value of being able to work with and through each other.
Sure, yeah. So people can directly reach out to me via email if they want at Tanya, it's T-O-N-Y-A, at upperlevelsportsacademy.com. I know it's kind of long, but that's how they get
One more time.
Sure, it's Tanya, T-O-N-Y-A, at upperlevelsportsacademy. They can also join in our Facebook group. It's College Recruiting Secrets for Parents of Athletes. And they can check out our website at upperlevelsportsacademy.com.
Okay, that's Tanya at upperlevelsportsacademy.com. And check out the website at upperlevelsportsacademy.com. And the Facebook page is called College. Give it to me so I won't mess it up.
That's it. You're fine. It's college recruiting secrets for parents of athletes.
Okay, college recruiting secrets for parents of athletes. Folks, check out this site. Check out this page. Go ahead and hit that like button. I'm telling you, you're gonna get some nuggets that you're gonna pick up off this page. That's gonna be a true valuable piece later on down the line, and you're gonna say, hey. Thank you to the Parents Coach of Parents Network, and thank you to those folks out there at Upper Level Sports Academy for providing this information to us. So, in closing, give us something to close out with there, Tanya.
Sure. I guess the thing that I would close out with is, you know, as you're going through this recruiting process, please keep in mind you know, that your child is, you know, they are still be a student athlete, right? So that student comes before athlete, and definitely would, you know, if your child is getting like recruited by a college coach and they're the coach, you know, doesn't see them as a student athlete. I mean, I know at the D1 level, it's a little different, but if they don't see them as a student first and an athlete second, I definitely would reevaluate, you know, if I would want to play for that coach, in that program. So.
And we definitely thank you for joining us this afternoon here on the Parents Coach Parents Network. It has been a true pleasure. And you, the door is open for you anytime that you want to come back and share some insight with us here on the Parents Coach Parents Network. We welcome you. We thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule this afternoon to join us. And we look forward to staying connected with you.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Hey, folks, it's been fun. It's been real. It's been real fun. This is M.A. Scott, the host of the Parents Coach of Parents Network. We're going to close this thing out with, again, my man, Mr. Keith Wright, as he talks about the college experience and how he makes smart cool. Hey, you have a great day.
student of the game. Had people frontin' talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know what would make it with the knowledge in my brain. And if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in. Meeting different connects that turn out to be my friend. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end. And when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen. But I'm hating dead. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and the knowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart moves. That's how I do.